Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Sounds just like the mantra of our politicians, right? Word for word. It's the same thing maybe about our sports stars, right? Our musicians, our movie stars. Word for word, right? Not so much. Not so much. We live in a culture that says, exalt yourself at all costs, or you're a loser. You're basically a loser if you can't do that. If you can't keep up with the Kardashians or whatever. Fortune, fame, and pleasure are the things that really matter in our culture, right? So people try to become what they're not. Building up phony personas and doing everything possible to be noticed. Look at me, look at me. However, even though this may work for a while, it never works in the long run. Moreover, and most importantly, God always notices us. And He always delights in each of us. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to earn anything with Him. He just delights in us. He created us. He loves us and accepts us for who we are, and His love is infinitely greater than any human love. Infinitely greater. He wants us to become who He created us to be. So He loves us as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us there, right? So He wants us to become who He created us to be and to flourish in doing so. And so this is walking the path of ongoing conversion that we talk about frequently. That's how it's done. That's the path He leads us on. So the Lord wants to give us all this. He's always noticing us, delighting in us. Why then do we worship the high and mighty people in society and try to be like them, looking up to them? This will only bring us misery. Why aren't we instead obsessed with welcoming the love of God so that we can become our true selves, become like Him? We're created in His image, right? The beautiful children and the beautiful and beloved children of God that we are, and be intimately in union with Him. That's what it means to be exalted. It doesn't mean to win an Emmy Award or to be, you know, famous on TV. It means to shine in the Lord's eyes. That's what really matters. Humility means to see things as they truly are. Indeed, to see things as God sees them, including yourself. How He looks at you and how He delights in you. And it's your choice, actually, whether you walk the road of humility or the road of pride. It's your choice and mine. God doesn't choose for us. He wants us to walk the path of humility, but He lets us choose. We see two clear examples of the prideful route in today's reading. Then in both cases, the prideful ones get a pretty good helping of humble pie. In that first reading, God strongly rebukes some of the Levitical priests. He's speaking through the prophet Malachi. And these wicked priests have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by their instruction. So not only have they gone astray, but they're leading others astray because they're obviously their leaders, right, in their culture, in their religion. And if they do not listen to the Lord, lay it to heart, as Malachi says, that means conversion, right? Get cut to the heart. If they don't listen to the Lord, lay it to heart, and give glory to God's name, cursed and contemptible will they be. And just to be sure, that's not a good thing, right? That's not good at all. In today's gospel passage, Jesus critiques the scribes and Pharisees for failing to practice what they preach, and in particular for burdening the people while exalting themselves and not doing anything to help relieve those burdens. They wear fancy clothes and they covet places and titles of honor. Yet, as Christ points out, the greatest among you must be your servant. The greatest among you must be your servants. Yes, God calls them, and us too, to conversion and humble service of others, not prideful self-aggrandizement. Now, thankfully, the liturgy also provides some positive examples of good, humble living. Today's responsorial, this is the beautiful little Psalm 131, a little holy homework for you. I strongly encourage you to go and meditate on this today and even throughout the week. But here in the responsorial, we see that it beautifully illustrates the humble and docile heart that God desires for each of us. And that's the heart that's the key to holiness and flourishing. O Lord, my heart is not proud, the psalmist exclaims, nor are my eyes haughty. I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Notice how down to earth this person is, focused on staying grounded, not lusting after high and mighty things. So that's a key theme that we've seen here, right? Psalmist continues, truly I have set my soul in silence and peace. As a child has rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul. Even so my soul. Now this means not getting worked up or anxious about whatever it is we have going on in our lives, but accepting things as they are. Realizing that silence, peace, and rest come from elsewhere. They don't come from me, they don't come from you, they come from surrender. It's through surrender that we find peace, not by controlling everything. Then the last line is crucial. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Hope in the Lord there, right? Not hope in me. Hope in the Lord. That's the linchpin, friends. The psalmist is focused not on himself, but on God. So very crucial. Because that is where the hope, peace, rest, and all good things come from our Lord. So busy yourself with Him. Seek to surrender to Him in all aspects of your life. Another positive example comes in the second reading where we find St. Paul working hard not to build himself up, but to empty himself out to build up those that he sent to minister to. His deep desire to do the Lord's will, not his own, results in a deep and tender love for the people that he is ministering to. This is the Father's love rubbing off on him in a beautiful way. The Father's loving him, showing him how to be a father. He turns around and is exhibiting this same love. And we can see a very beautiful Eucharistic theme going on here. Jesus empties himself out, right, completely for us and gives us his body and blood. We celebrate it in the Eucharistic feast, giving thanks to him so that we can become more and more like him. Not like the Kardashians, like Jesus, right? More and more like him, emptying ourselves up, building up that body of Christ. That's exactly what Paul is doing here. And it comes all the way down to us today, right? So Paul's love, which is really the Father's love working through him, then enables the Thessalonians to receive the Word of God, as we heard, not as a human word, but as it truly is, the Word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. So it was at work in the Thessalonians, believing in that age, and comes all the way down to us today, those of us who believe. This is the gift that keeps on giving. The Lord showing us how to live, showing us how to become more and more like Him, and how to change the world in doing so. Okay, brothers and sisters, as we've seen, accepting the Word, this is capital W Word, Jesus is the Word, right? Accepting the Word in His fullness and radicality is the path to true freedom, peace, and joy. So let's pursue Jesus with gusto, right? But you have to choose this path. You can choose another path, right? But you have to choose this path and then stick with it. You've got to stick with it. It's not going to happen magically. Oh, I was baptized, so Jesus is going to do everything else, and I do whatever I want, right? No. Sorry. Try again. That's not going to work. You have to choose between worshiping God and worshiping yourself and the things of this world. And that's not always an easy choice, but it's an essential one. And yes, worshiping and walking with God requires you to let go of yourself and surrender to Him. That requires you to encounter the cross, right? That's where Jesus is leading us. That's the path to the Father. This requires humility, which then opens up the pathway for God to set you free and to do His wonderful work through you, to be exalted through you. That's what He desires, to be exalted through you and I. His name be praised because of the wonderful things that He does within and around us. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, in the final analysis, there's really just one question as we're pondering all this. Which path will you choose?